This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, you know, we've outlived the storm. We've went through that another year.
It almost seems like this is a re-recording, but it's not. It's like, here we go, another storm for you. And it's just like another doozy, not just a little snow, not just a little rain, or maybe just a little cold. It's like another whopper of a dangerous situation over there. What is happening?
It is. Well, we had 2 days of really bad, bad weather. You know, I mean, it was raining. It was sleeting. It was so cold. You know, it's like 19 to 22 degrees.
Wow.
And at that rate, you know, that everything that fell turned to ice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, slick. Oh, my gosh. They were rescuing people with Jeeps. I mean, everything. People were stranded. I don't even know how many wrecks per hour they had, but a lot of wrecks.
Wow.
But I'm happy to report I didn't go out. I wasn't that dumb. I knew to stay in the house. You know, don't go anywhere. You know, oh my gosh.
You learned the last time, or maybe the time before, that when they start saying
that's
like
right.
Snow
don't
and
get
sleet.
Out in this and try to go down anywhere. Somebody said, well, we have to go to the store. I said, if you've waited this long, you should stay home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little late now to be worrying about going to the store, you know.
You missed your window.
I missed that. And the llamas, you know, the first day, they were out as
really?
Bad as the weather was. Yeah, they didn't seem to care, but they did go in. They, you know, there's 15 of them, so they gathered up and went in the barn, and they were very cozy in there. There's so many of them, and they've got so much fur, you know, they were fine.
Yeah.
But it took a lot to get them to go in. They didn't go in to start with. They were over there by the hay just laying down. But they finally all went in.
They finally decided
so
they'd had enough.
We know how bad the weather was when your llamas all go in.
It's almost like you can judge the severity of the storm and the weather based on the llama's behavior.
That's right, because it has to get pretty bad. And then, of course, Max, you know, he was out in it the first day. He wouldn't come in the house.
Oh, Lord.
You know, we're begging him to come in, telling him it's too cold out there. When he finally came in, there was ice all on his coat.
Oh, no.
His ears were wet. His face was wet. We're drying him off. And it was like, you know, he was shivering, but he didn't care.
He just didn't care.
I guess he did not care that it was that bad out.
Huh. That's dedication.
I don't understand it. Yes. I mean, he wants to be outside, and he did not want to come in. He didn't care if he froze to death. He just wasn't going to come in.
Wow.
But, yeah. And when we got him in, we tried to keep him in as long as possible.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, we're saying, you know, you need to be in the house with us.
Yeah.
But
safety first.
He just loves outdoors. Yeah, he loves outdoors more than anybody I've ever seen.
My goodness. So you can judge the storm by the llamas, but not by Max's behavior, because he doesn't adjust.
Yes, you can judge the storm by Max. You know, Max has his own way of doing things.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I'd have been inside, that's for sure. I wouldn't have even gone outside to test it.
Well, the bad thing is we were having to get out in the cold to try to get him in.
Oh, Lord.
That's what was so bad. You know, we're going out, and we're giving him treats. We're doing everything we can think of to get him to come in. and he'd come to us and then just run and go back to what he's doing. You know, I mean, he did not think it was that cold, and yet the shivering didn't even bother him.
No. So clearly,
it bothered us.
He thought y'all.
Yeah, we were the ones worried.
Yeah, you're the ones with the problem.
Yeah, that's what he thought. We were the ones that had the problem wanting him to come in the house. We need a dog psychologist to explain this to us.
Yeah, you do. You need a dog whisperer to come over and get control of this situation.
That's right. Oh, wow. And to whisper in his ear, it'd be nice if you'd come in the house when it's bad.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah.
He's a tough old bird. Oh, I guess he's a tough young bird. Wow.
He is a tough, tough puppy. I mean, anybody can go out when it's that cold and just lay there. I mean, I don't understand it, you know?
And shivering didn't bother him at all. It didn't seem to faze him.
No, and we could see him shivering. And so we'd rush to the door, and we'd call him, we'd do everything. He'd come close, but he wouldn't come to us because he knew we wanted him to come to the house. Oh, my gosh. So
he's like, I'm not falling for this trick.
That's right. He knows all the tricks. He's too smart, and he just does what he wants to do. That's all there is to it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. But you survived, and everything is getting somewhat back to normal now.
That's right. We have survived everything, you know. So we're very thankful it's over, and I hope we don't have this again for a long time.
Yeah, we said that last year, and then look at this year. It's twice already.
I know, twice, and it's almost the end of February, and to have this kind of a storm right now, you know, I mean, it was like 19 degrees, 22 degrees most of the time,
yeah.
And it said it felt like 7 below.
Yeah. Wow.
That was what the wind chill.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a wind yesterday, Thursday, of 29 miles an hour.
Wow.
I mean, you know, 19 degrees and that kind of wind, it really put the cold on you.
Man, that's the kind of cold that goes right through. It's as though you have no skin. You can feel it in all your bones and all your organs, and it's just you. It takes a long time to warm up after that. That's really, really cold.
Yes. Can you imagine if you had to go out?
Yeah.
I don't think I could have done it.
No.
And I'll tell you a funny story. Somebody called me and said, Faye, I just read on the internet how to get the ice off your windshield. Well, I didn't want to say to him, you know, my heater will do that. I said, well, what do you do? And the lady said, well, you take an onion, a raw onion, and you rub it over the glass and it will melt.
Really?
And yes, that's what they told me.
Wow. I don't know.
Oh, and I need to tell you something else too. One of our clients sent me a message this week. Him and his little boy, who's 10, they listen to us every week. And the little boy is like some other clients. He's got where he knows the phone number by heart, and he will recite it to his dad. That's pretty cute.
Oh, that is cute.
Yeah. You know, I have a client that all these years he would call me, and he would recite the 800 number because he was the same way. He learned it, and he would recite it. And this gentleman sent me a note and said his little 10-year-old boy now has all this down and can repeat it word for word.
Wow.
That's pretty neat.
That is really cute. He could probably, like, recite the rest of the show, too. That's pretty cool.
Well, he might. Could. He might. And the little boy loves to listen to our trivia. And so he makes sure he's tuned in, you know, where you can hear all the trivia on Saturday morning. And that's pretty cute.
That is fantastic. We thank them for that. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. What is that phone number? Let's see if you remember.
Let's see if I can do it today. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So I hate to ask, but we see what's going on with the markets. You know, obviously, you know, starting Thursday, we woke up to a kind of a bit of a surprise, and then you know now it's like looking forward. So what do you say, like, worldwide? I know we have our own, you know, issues on, you know, the stock market and things like that to deal with, but what do you think is happening worldwide on the in the big picture right now?
Well, the war has started. Russia has invaded Ukraine. NATO is supposed to be coming to the rescue. But, you know, this could be a two-week war a month. All the market dropped really, really bad. Oil went up. At one point, it was $105. I don't know what it ended up the week, but I know at one point it was $105. So the oil's up, the stock market is depressed. And, you know, I've been talking about this for some time, about it dropping. And it brought me to annuities. We just got a new deal on annuities this week.
Really?
And they sent me what annuities have been doing, and they have all these new programs on annuities. What most people don't know is annuities mirror the stock market. They're never directly in the stock market, but you can invest in an annuity. They have right now 16 different things you can put money in. Now,
really?
That's a lot of choices. Yes. You've got all these choices on annuities, and it mirrors the stock market. It's never direct in the stock market, so you can't lose your money. So people that are in the stock market, why don't they do annuities that are safe? You're not going to lose your money. You're principal safe, and if the stock market goes up, you get paid. If it goes down, it just sits there. It just stays silent. So I think it's one of the best investments for right now for this crucial period. If anybody wants to be 100% safe,
is it crazy to characterize an annuity as though it goes up but never goes down? Is that crazy?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
Annuities are fixed for if there's a profit, if the stock market's going up, you get paid. If it starts losing, your principal just sits there because you're not directly in the stock market.
Wow.
So that's the best of all worlds. You can make a profit, but you never have that risk. It takes all that risk factor out. And like right now, with it dropping as much as it did, the Dow dropped a lot, as you saw.
Yeah.
And if you'd been in an annuity, it wouldn't have made anything that week or that month, but it would have stayed steady. Your principal would have been absolutely safe.
Yeah. And I think
so annuities are a great, great option right now for people in the stock market. If you want to be 100% safe, get an annuity. These are 10-year annuities. You can walk away at the end of 10 years. You can next year you can start taking money out, or you can not take anything out and just let it grow. But I'm shocked that the annuity company sent me all this information this week and said, Faye, they've got 16 choices.
I didn't know there was 16. Is that a new thing, or is that just, has it always been there?
I think they've added some, yes. They've added some. It's got a Fidelity account. It's got a BlackRock account. It's got a lot of really good choices. It's got the S&P. It's got everything. And you can invest in it without your risk. People are always saying, oh, the stock market's so good. It's not good all the time.
No, we saw. I know a lot of people, you know, they're in the stock market to make money. But then, you know, when we get uncertain times like these, people kind of, you know, I guess kind of pull back a little bit. And it's just like, well, we may not make any money, but at this point, we're just, you know, praying that we don't lose everything. We pray that we don't lose the our principal. And so
there was a lot of losses this week.
Yeah.
Also, I just read this week, they said $138 billion of cash has been taken out of the market.
Really?
$138
billion. Wow.
Has been taken out. I'd never heard of that much. That is a huge, huge amount. And I don't know where they had it invested. It didn't say. It just said they've taken $138 billion cash out of the market.
Didn't you say also, like, within the last couple of weeks that there have been several billionaires and key players that have, let me see if I get this right, that they've pulled out of the stock market? Is that how?
Yes, that's what I read, that all these billionaires that are so smart have taken their cash and went home.
Wow.
They're out. They've moved their money out. It's no longer in the market.
Wow.
And these are billionaires that could afford to lose a billion or half a billion. You know, they could afford a loss. The other people, John Q. Public, cannot afford a lot of losses.
Wow, especially on that, especially on that level.
Yeah, especially if it's in an IRA.
Yeah.
And so if it's in a 401k, sometimes you can't move it. You just have to take the losses. But if you're a regular citizen and you've just got a broker, you know, you can get out. You can keep from losing anymore. And a lot of people always say, well, it'll come back. But how long does it take? Lots of times it takes a while. In the meantime, you've got all those. They're real losses because they subtract it off of your portfolio.
Mm. Yeah.
So
pulling out $138 billion, that'll get some people's attention. What would happen if that trend can, does the bottom fall out? Is there enough to sustain and hold it up, like structurally, or what happens?
There is billions and billions and billions in the stock market. But I imagine it did make a significant dent when they took $138 billion out.
Man.
Those people can no longer rely on that to invest, can they?
Wow. That's,
yeah.
Ooh, that could be painful. We could feel that for a little while.
That's right. And of course, we don't know how long this war is going to last. We don't know, you know, but I know it scared everybody, because a lot of these investments, you know, are in Europe. They're everywhere. So a lot of these companies are, you know, not just in the United States. So, you know, they are afraid, you know, what's going to happen.
At this point,
it depends how long the war lasts, you know.
Is it almost too, because I know we kind of touched on it a little bit in the last couple of weeks, you know, what if in case something happens, or if in case, you know, war does break out, and now we're kind of here, and we see what happened, is it almost at this point too late to pull out, or do people, you know, have some time to make some adjustments?
No, it's never too late. Hmm. I always think you always have time.
All right.
That's my personal opinion. That you know how I feel about the stock.
I know.
So I always hate to say a lot about it because, you know, I'm not in it. It's not my shoes.
Yeah.
It's not my money that's at stake, that's at risk.
Annuities are a good place to go.
Yeah, annuities are a safe place. You can put a lot of money or you can put a small amount. You know, but an annuity is always going to be there. You can relax, sit back, go do everything else you need to be doing. And if the stock market goes down, you're safe. Your money is not going to go down. Your portfolio will still be the same. And then when it comes back, then and it makes money, it's safe. It locks in at the end of every 12 months. Whatever your profit is during the year, it locks in at the end of the year, every year.
Oh, wow.
So it can't ever go down once you get your cash. Once you get your interest, it's locked in. So that's a great investment, I think.
Yeah. You know, and when you explain it, it makes a little bit more sense in more detail. I know on the surface, you know, if people, you know, hear, well, you know, the annuities, they mirror the stock market. And people may be thinking, well, geez, the stock market is not a good place to be right now. But, you know, when you kind of realize and put it in perspective that, you know, it won't go down, it can only go up. And so you may wait for the market to come back, but you're in a good spot when it does, right? Pretty much.
That's exactly right. Your money's safe. Your principal isn't going anywhere. Especially if you're getting ready to retire, you want to be sure your principal is safe. You don't want it to go away right here at the last minute.
Yeah.
You know, and everything's unpredictable right now. Stock market's very unpredictable. You don't know what it's going to do. And, you know, I always go back to 2008, you know, what happened. And, you know, people did not get out soon enough, and a lot of people lost lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
It was a very bad time because It took several years for them to get their money back. And I don't know that that will happen this time, but, you know, if you don't want the risk, just take evasive action is what I always say. Take evasive action. Have some of your money where you know it ain't going down. It doesn't matter what happens.
Have you seen?
And if you really love the stock market, do an annuity, and you can, every year you can change, you can invest in different things, and it can be just as exciting as the stock market.
Exciting. That's a good way to put it.
Without the risk. It can be as exciting as the stock market without the risk.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
Have you seen any kind of like increased interest in annuities, or are we in a place where this would be a good time for people to start?
I have seen an increase in interest. People have been asking me. And then when I got this statement from the annuity company saying, it's went up this much, and they went back and looked at the worst 10 years we had, and they did a study, they sent me that. They said they made 5% even when things were really, really bad.
Really?
When the stock market wasn't making anything, it made over 5%,
wow,
even those bad years.
Well, that's pretty...
And their fixed rate has come up. Their fixed rate is 2.50.
Really?
Yeah. And that's a lot right now.
That
you
is
know,
pretty good.
You can't get it at the bank.
No.
So the fixed rate is 2.50. And if you're really, really conservative, you might say, well, put some of it in fixed, you know. So there's a lot of things you can do with an annuity that you cannot do directly in the stock market. Things that are safe. And as I said, you can change it every year. Or you can do like I've been doing for clients, do a two-year investment. And that way, if you have six months of bad, it doesn't matter because you've got another year and a half for it to grow.
Mm.
So there's a lot of ways to do it.
I know you don't have to be accredited to do an annuity, but are there what are the parameters, I guess? Or
Yes, the high band, as they call it, you have to have at least $75,000 to do that.
All right.
And usually, you know, our people put in $100,000.
Okay.
Or a lot more sometimes to do an annuity. And the parameters are different, but your debt ratio to cash still has to work. You can't be high over heels in debt and do an annuity. You've got to have cash flow every month, and as long as you've got good cash flow, good assets, you can do an annuity.
Because I know sometimes we talk about, like when we compare life settlements to annuities, you know, sometimes, and we probably shouldn't do it like that, but a lot of times it kind of sounds like, well, you know, life settlements is the golden cow, so to speak. And then as Plan B, there's annuities as well. But it really, they're both, I guess, probably on equal ground as far as, you know, a good investment opportunity. Annuities just as effective as a life settlement, right?
Well, there's a lot of difference. The people that do life settlements, they want to make a lot more money than you'll ever make probably in an annuity. But it's a different type of investment. Life settlements, you're investing in a life insurance policy. The trustee is in charge of your money. The trustee guards it. The money always goes through the trustee. When the people pass away, the trustee gets the check. They put it in your account, which is the safest way to do it. If it goes over, you have premium payments. Hopefully, they're not a lot of money. Hopefully, you'll still have a good profit at the end. We've still got those old policies. I always refer back to them. We're hoping in the next year or 15 months, those will be gone. We're hoping. Our LE tells us that one of them doesn't have very long to go. We still have a little profit left in those old policies, which is amazing.
Yeah.
As long as they die by 2023, we've still got some profit.
Wow.
right.
Yeah.
I know that's been a thorn in your side for a long time.
It has. I mean, we fell for that deal, just hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
And it's been a problem. And we're trying to get out of it intact. We're trying to get everybody's money back, get them a little bit of profit, and get them out of that.
Yeah.
And so our hope, and, you know, we've spent a lot of money on LAs. We do spend a lot of money, as you know, on LAs, checking them, all this. I told you last week we have a doctor who's going to be going over this with us, helping us with this, see if we can tighten that down, make it a lot tighter than it is now, where we know with certainty, you know, how it's going to come out. So I think that's one of the great things we've got coming. You know, we're always trying to improve what we're doing. We're trying to make it better, make their profit better. You know, we did a policy this week, and it is full, by the way. The lady has no premium, and she's in hospice.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it filled up very, very quickly. But I wish all of them were like that. I wish they were in hospice and had no premium like that one did.
Yeah.
But it was an unusual thing to get one that had no premium, and the lady's already in hospice.
Boy, I bet that went. I bet that was gone in lightning.
It went
speed.
So fast, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
Nobody said no, and nobody said, "Let me think about it." They said, "Yes, put me down."
Yeah, I would imagine. Jeez.
Yeah, everybody said, "Put me down fast." So that was a good deal. We'd like to have a lot more like that.
Yeah, they don't come around for very often. So when you do, it's like take advantage of it. Goodness gracious. So as people look at these different types of investments, I know you have some investors that do love to do life settlements, but also do annuities as well. It must be because of, is it fair to say that they're both conservative, where you don't have to worry about losing your principal? Or am I going too far with that?
They are both conservative. Your principal is always safe. Your interest is... as long as it doesn't go over, your interest is going to be 100% what you started out saying it was going to be. Because remember, it pays 1% a month. And we need to go over that because sometimes people don't understand it. That's 1% a month. If it's 24 months, you're going to make 24%. If it goes over, it'll be subtracted from that 24. But hopefully, it's a small amount. We have a lot of premium payments that are very small. And some of them that are larger, we know that, but we try to keep them at a minimum, and we've reduced the amount of premium that we'll let go on a policy. And so we have had to turn some good ones down because the premium was at 3% or above.
Mm.
So we're trying not to do that. We're trying to keep it very, very low where that if it does go over, it won't hurt you. And you'll still get all your money. You'll still get all your profit. So that's what we're working on. Hard.
And partnering with a doctor is a brilliant move, by the way.
I think so, too, because we're not going to be taking somebody else's word. We're going to work with the doctor, and he's going to work with us on tightening up those LEs.
Yeah, take more of a deeper look at the analysis, I would imagine.
Yes, and, you know, I've been reading the you know, all the information on everybody that we do, but we'll have a second pair of eyes on this.
Cool. That's really, really cool. As people, you know, look at the entire landscape, I guess, of life settlements, do most people come in with the expectation that they're going to get into a number of policies for, you know, a few years, and that's how really you thrive with a life settlement type of investment? Or do people kind of come in and say, yeah, I'm going to get in one for now and then kind of see what happens? Because I know the more the merrier, and it just depends on how aggressive.
They all know you can't do one policy. Everybody knows that. You've got to have a few policies to make it work. And then you've got to be consistent and over, even if you got some that are over and you have some, you know, money that comes in, go ahead and reinvest it. And hopefully those will come in on time or early because it works that way. You may have five that comes in early, then you may have five that goes over. So, you know, but the law of averages will work for you. It's worked over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
The people that are consistent, that do this all the time, they've made a lot of money. The ones that get in then get out have not made as much, because they'll get in and make some money, and then if something goes over, they just stop, and they're not doing anything. So it makes a difference if you're consistent. It's like anything else you do in life.
Yeah. You know, I know, you know, people come in and they look at it, and sometimes they'll kind of like experiment a little bit just to kind of see. And it's, I think you've talked about this before, that when people do come in and they just kind of want to try it a little bit, and they see, you know, that it, you people aren't up at like midnight checking their portfolio all day, every day. They're not worried about the stock market, because a life settlement, you know, it's a life insurance policy, and it's not affected by, you know, war or, you know, things that'll happen on Wall Street or anything else that may happen that makes things so unstable. They don't have to worry about that. They do that one investment to just kind of try it out, and it's like, oh my goodness, we're actually making money. We didn't lose, you know, our principal, and you know, nothing affects it. We don't have to worry about it. Our anxiety is much more under control. And then kind of like they start, you know, getting a little bit more aggressive, I guess, with their investments. Is that pretty typical, you think?
Yes, I think people do get more aggressive. If they get used to it and they know how it works, if they're confident, you know, they just do it over and over. It depends, you know, how confident you are in what you're doing.
Yeah. Interesting. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. It's got a lot of great, great things on it to read. It's got references. It tells you what people have made, whether it was early, whether it was late. It's got a lot of information you should read.
Yeah, you do get a lot of feedback from a lot of, especially new investors who come in and they say, you know, you checked out the website and, you know, they saw the money that people have made, because you've got those types of pieces of data up there. And it's really kind of shocking. It kind of puts things back in perspective. It's like, oh, yeah, OK, these are real people making real money and fairly easily, too. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's about bridges in Texas.
Cool.
What do you think about that?
I love it.
Texas has thousands of historic bridges. Did you know that?
I didn't know there were thousands, but I don't know why.
There are thousands of them. We have 14 major rivers.
Mm-hmm.
We have 80,000 miles of state highways. Did you know that?
I didn't know that either.
We have more vehicle bridges than any state in the Union.
Wow. Now that's cool.
Across railways, gorges, rivers, streams, floodplains, harbors, ship channels. They've been built over two centuries. Now, a lot of them have aged gracefully, but a lot of others, you know, are not in good shape. 50% of our historic bridges have been lost nationwide because nobody did any maintenance on them. They didn't take care of them. But a lot of ours have been preserved. We designated them as historic landmarks, or we converted them to pedestrian use. A lot of them, they've moved them to parks. They've moved them to different places. They've rehabbed them. Do you remember the monumental Waco Suspension Bridge?
Yes.
We've done a story on it before. It was the first span of the Pecos River, the earliest permanent bridge in Texas.
Really?
Yes. And, of course, now it's a walking bridge, and it is for people to admire. But many of our metal truss spans, like the 1938 Monopolis Bridge over the Colorado River in Austin. Austin has a lot of beautiful old bridges. And it has become a pedestrian bridge. We have 55,000 bridges in Texas for traffic. 55,000. Would you believe that?
55,000? You got to be kidding me. I would have guessed, you know, a couple thousand, but my goodness, 55,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've got the Pecos High Bridge. It's a rail viaduct over the Pecos River. We have 28 international bridges crossing Texas and Mexico. I didn't even know we had 28.
I had no idea.
And then we've got a lot of city bridges. Austin is home to the 1910 Ann W. Richards Congress Avenue Bridge. The Congress Avenue Bridge is famous because in the summer, people go there to see the bats. The flight of the bats is under that Austin Street Bridge.
Cool.
And then we've got the Pennypacker Bridge across the water of Lake Austin. The Pflugerville is a pedestrian bridge over Lake Lady Bird Lake. And people go, their strollers, their kids. Then we've got our ghost bridges.
Ghost bridges?
And they're haunted bridges. The San Angelo Lone Wolf Bridge. Now, Denton has the old Alton Bridge. I've been there many times. They take all the school kids to the old Alton Bridge and, you know, let them see it. It's much more fun at night.
Go.
You're going to scare them. Then you've got the San Antonio's Donkey Lady Bridge. And it's the last variant. A Weeping Ghost. That one I have not been to, but a lot of people tell me about it. And it's the last ghost bridge.
Really? That fascinates
me. Then we've got, yeah, we've got the Metal Truss Bridge over the Red River linking Denison with Durant, Oklahoma. Now, it's a famous bridge. Years ago, they had a political battle, and that was in 1931. It was called the Red River Bridge War. And the Oklahoma National Guard and the Texas Rangers had a 9-day standoff.
Really?
And that bridge has been moved to Colbert City Park in Oklahoma. A lot of these bridges, that's a wonderful thing. They've been preserved. They've been moved to parks in different places. And did you know we did not have masonry arch bridges for a long time? And they were redone after the ancient Roman designs. And the arch bridges became popular after the Great Depression.
Wow. I didn't know that either.
And, of course, you know, suspension bridges, we've got the Waco one, and then we've got the 1928 Miguel Alemán International Bridge, and it's still on the Rio Grande. But then we've got cable bridges. The Dale Bridge on the Paluxy River is the oldest bridge of cable in Texas, and it was done in 1890.
Really?
Yeah. The metal truss bridges were engineered by the rail industry.
Oh, wow.
And that design was from 1880 to 1930. They constructed thousands of wrought iron and steel bridges. Then we've got the 1959 Corpus Christi Barge Bridge, and it is big. And they're fixing to tear it down and replace it. But concrete bridges and beams did not come along till the 1950s. Did you know that?
Really?
I didn't realize we didn't start building all these big concrete bridges till the 1950s.
No, I would have thought it would have started much earlier than that. Wow.
Yeah. And I remember years ago, we were coming back somewhere. I think it was south of Memphis. I may have it wrong. And we got on the wrong highway, and we came to this little bitty road, and we had no choice. We had to go across this old, old bridge, and it was so scary. I mean, I was holding on for dear life. I thought, oh, my gosh, we'll never make it. This old bridge isn't even going to hold us up.
Wow. If you have to sit there and look at the bridge before you cross it and think, is this rickety old bridge going to hold us up? You probably shouldn't go over.
That's right. And we didn't have a choice. I mean, we're already there. We're at the start of it, and we had to go across.
Oh.
And I was so scared. I never, oh, my gosh. So I've seen a lot of bridges, good ones and bad ones, and old bridges, you know. And that one should have been replaced 30 years ago at least.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow.
Yeah.
That bridge is on borrowed time, that's for sure. Lord.
Yeah, and I remember the old bridge, when you're going to Memphis, you know, it's an old bridge going into town. And I know one time, and it was a four lane, but each two lane was quite a ways apart. And as we're going across the bridge, there is a big 18 wheeler hanging from the other bridge,
no.
almost over it.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah, things like that will get your attention. And you go, oh, my gosh. You know?
Wow.
And then, you know, they built that wonderful long bridge over the Memphis River there. And it is a feat. It's really a fabulous, fabulous bridge. I don't know what they spent, but it's wonderful. After that little bitty bridge going into Memphis. Yeah, they built that wonderful big bridge.
Long bridges.
I've been across thousands of bridges, and I do have some opinions of them. And then the bridge down there at Orange that everybody's so scared of. They say it's one of the scariest bridges in all of the United States because it just goes straight up and then straight back down.
Wow.
And people do try to avoid it if all possible.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I would avoid it. You know, I'd go 100 miles around that. But bridges are very interesting. We've got some great old bridges, a lot of antique bridges, truss bridges, suspension bridges. You know, I bet Texas has more bridges than anybody.
I have no doubt. Man. And
yeah.
I didn't realize that there was such a, I guess, maybe a movement or whatever you call it, to actually move bridges. I thought when they rebuilt them, they just kind of like blew them up or dismantled them or whatever they do and just throw the parts away. I didn't realize that they were actually like moving bridges. Wow.
They've moved a lot of them to parks, different places for pedestrian use. And it's wonderful because they're antiques. They should be preserved. A lot of bridges have been destroyed, but in Texas, they've preserved an awful lot of our old bridges for people to still enjoy and walk across to marvel at the way they were built back then.
Wow. That's some pretty good forethought to even think to do something like that. Not only, you know, are you like, you know, keeping, you know, something around, but you're preserving, you know, a piece of history in a lot of cases. That's interesting. I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, we want to preserve as much history in Texas as we can. And our bridges are something that they'll never be done again. So if they can preserve them, put them in a park, or just keep them where they are, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. What's that one that goes straight up and then straight down again?
This is the one over by Orange, Texas.
Because I think you've talked about that before.
I have. I've done a story on it. It's one of the most dangerous bridges in the world.
Lord.
And people talk about it every so often. There'll be a story about it. Six most dangerous bridges in the United States. Well, this is probably the most dangerous. What architect did that? I'll never know. Somebody should ask him.
Yeah.
Did you really hate Texas that much? Did you design a bridge like this? I think he must have disliked us.
Evidently.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, why would you build a bridge like that? That is so scary. You're taking your life in your hands every time you cross it.
It's kind of like a roller coaster is what it sounds like. It's more terrifying than a roller coaster, I would suppose.
Oh, yeah,
wow.
And years ago, kids would go there and play under it, teenagers.
Oh, no.
They'd do all these crazy things under that bridge.
Oh, wow.
So, kids are not afraid of anything, you know that.
You know, and
teenagers are just, you know, they should be, but they're oblivious to danger.
Yeah.
You know, they think they'll, nothing will ever happen to them.
No,
you know?
It never
but,
does.
that's right.
Wow.
But anyway, I thought that was an interesting concept. How many bridges we actually have that were built in the 1800s and how they did it. You know, whether it was suspension bridges or arch bridges or cable, you know, or the metal truss bridges.
And there's 55,000.
Yes.
Jeez.
Can you imagine how many bridges?
I can't.
And all the people that didn't have bridges, they had to ford the rivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, way back then. You know, they had to have a way to get across.
And I didn't realize there were dedicated ghost bridges either. I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Several ghost bridges. And the one up here by Denton, you know, kids love to go there. They love to go there on school trips. Teenagers like to go there at night, you know.
I can only imagine.
That's right. Ghost bridge. Yeah, you can only imagine those teenagers, right?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I tell you what, long bridges, they terrify me. Like, if it's a short bridge, I'm okay. But if it's a long bridge and it just keeps going and going, you just have that thing. You know, the closer you get, the farther you get, I guess, from the shore or the
yes.
actual land, the more you get towards the middle of one of those long bridges, the more those scenarios go through my brain. It's like, oh man, you know, at this point, if something was to happen and something was to go wrong, you know, this would be like the worst place for it to happen. Those thoughts just go through my brains on those long bridges. I think the shorter ones, I can get over them in kind of a hurry, but the long ones are kind of terrifying.
Man.
Well, you're like Interstate 10 going to New Orleans.
Oh yeah.
You know, oh my gosh, I'd rather be anywhere than on Interstate 10 at night.
Oh.
On that long, long, long bridge.
Yes.
And you can see the lights down there, and everybody always said, "Faye, those are alligators down there."
Ooh.
So, you know, that didn't help at all either.
No.
I'm a firm believer and staying off those long, long, long bridges, especially at night. At
yeah.
night, it's so scary, and it goes on and on. And it's like you say, if you can avoid it, just do it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
There's other ways to get everywhere in America.
There are other ways to get there.
Yes. That's my feelings.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Yes. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMedlin.com. There's a lot of references on there, a lot of good things to read. It's worth looking us up.
And for God's sakes, don't get me started on planes and trains. That's that'll be a whole nother show.
Planes and trains.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We could do a story on some planes and trains.
They could be terrifying. Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, because these people fight on planes, they have outbursts. Oh, my gosh. You know?
Yes.
It's not like used to people. You know, I can remember years ago, women wore suits on airplanes. Men wore suits and ties.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, it was such a privilege to ride on an airplane, and you wanted to look your best and be your best. And now they just are barely dressed, and they're belligerent. They've been drinking. You don't know if you're going to get hit. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen on an airplane. I mean, it's a different deal. It's not like what is the word? They have no class.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
They have no class.
Boy, you remember when you could get on an airplane and the armrests would have the little ashtrays and people would smoke on the airplane? Oh, boy.
Now, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of things. I don't remember smoking. But I remember that the stewardesses would come forward. They had all kinds of lunch. I mean, back when they fed you good. And they'd have snacks. They'd have dessert. Dr. Peppers were available, wine, people were drinking champagne. I mean, it was really nice to fly across the country and be treated so good. And now they've discontinued all this. I mean, those people would probably be throwing food at you. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it a bit. It's a rough, tumble place to get on an airplane now and go anywhere.
Yeah.
Some of those guys stand up and start choking people. I mean, I'm always reading. They try to break in the cabin, and the passengers have to subdue them and sit on them till they get to land. And I read every week where they diverted a plane and had to land because of unruly passengers.
Yeah. Yeah, there's at least one or
two
a week.
Do you want to be on an airplane with people that are acting like that?
No way. Mm-mm.
I believe I just drive in my car and have peace, and, you know, it'd be a lot safer, I'm just telling you.
It's been a while since you've flown, isn't it?
Yes, it has. And I intend to keep it that way. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. All right. So in spite of everything that's going on in the world right now, people still have chances to make money, which is kind of, I think, surprising to people because, you know, the picture that's painted, you know, when we're going through a situation like this worldwide, people think, oh, my goodness, you know, there's no opportunities. We're going to lose everything and the whole bottom is going to fall out. The great thing about either annuities, you know, which you brought to our light more than usual this morning, which is fantastic, but also with life settlements as well, people still have opportunities to make money in a very solid, conservative way between either one, life settlements or annuities, right?
That's exactly right. And it's up to a person how they want to go forward. You know, if you want the risk, take them. You know, I'm a firm believer. I don't want anyone that wants all this risk available to them. Well, that's their business. But if they want to be conservative, if they want to make money conservative, that's where we come in. You know, we've been doing this a long time. I think 10 years, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it longer than 10?
I think it's actually longer.
Okay. And we've been in business, you know, 20 years. So we've done something right over the years. And I think that this is a good way to do it. I think life settlements are a great investment. You know, the mutual fund companies now, they're all in life settlements. If it was just a flash in the pan, they wouldn't be getting in it, would they?
Yeah.
So we know it's here to stay. It's not a flash in the pan. We're making improvements on it every day. We're trying to do a better job all the time. And it's consistent.
Yeah,
and
that's
I think
true.
It's a great investment. People have made a lot of money. Some people right now may have premiums they're paying. They think they're never going to make a profit again, but they are. If you stay with it, it'll work. It has worked. It will work. And then we have annuities for people that are really conservative. So these are the things we offer on a daily basis. We have new people coming to us all the time. People look us up all the time and read about us, and they come and try us and see if they like us. And I think it's just a great way to go.
And to kind of put things in perspective a little bit, just to kind of recalibrate, while most or many people are worried or at least greatly concerned, if not, you know, full-blown panic right now, those who are in particularly with like a life settlement, they're just going on as though nothing has ever happened. They're completely unshaken by anything because a life settlement is not affected by anything.
No,
really.
It's not affected by this war that we're having. Their principal's still safe. Their interest is still safe. They haven't lost a dime. They don't have a downsize on it. Like on the stock market, it's so far down. It'll take time to recover. But, you know, I think for me and my house, you know, we're going to stay with the investments we're doing. We're going to stay with life settlements and with annuities.
And people look at the risks when it comes to like a life settlement, you know, like you said, it's not affected by the war or anything else is going on. There are three other, I guess, kind of risks that are involved with a life settlement. You like to talk about those every time just so that people know exactly, you know, what they're getting into if they're thinking about getting into life insurance policies and whatnot. So what's the first biggest risk?
The biggest risk is a policy could go over. And we tell them that every week. If you can't afford to pay premiums, this is not for you. The premiums can go over, and you would have to pay a premium. And you might have to pay it a year or two. You have to be prepared for that. That's your biggest risk, is that it could go over, you would have premiums. But every time you do a policy, you know what the premiums are going to be. We send that out to you. When we send the LA out, we say, this is what the premiums are on this policy. So it won't be a surprise. You'll know what could happen, and you have to judge it by that. A really good policy is worth it, I can assure you. And then the second risk, remember, it is not liquid until it matures. When it matures, it is liquid. But it is not liquid until then. And then if a life insurance policy, a company, should ever go under, it could delay your money. We haven't had one go under in years and years. So that's not really a big risk. The biggest risk is still your premiums if it goes over.
I noticed a couple things that you didn't say for the risks. I know you didn't say you could lose your entire principal. I know you didn't say that the value of the investment will go down. Neither of those are true, which is a win-win right there in itself, just those two alone.
That's right. Your principal is always safe. Your interest is always safe. Your investment will never go down. It's not going to, you know, it's not like the stock market. It doesn't drop 50% or 30%. It's not going to drop one dime. Remember, you're inside a life insurance policy. It's why it's not going to go down. Mm-hmm. Life insurance policies pay the stated face amount every time they pay off. Yeah. They don't pay off a percentage. They pay off 100%. That's what makes it safe. And the other thing is it's always done through Nevada Trust Company.
Mm.
That makes it really safe.
Yeah, that's also a big deal as well. People, you know, thinking about security and
safety. I think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because we read all this thing where brokers sometimes take their clients' money and they spend it on yachts and houses and all this.
Yeah.
You know. And, of course, the brokerage company will have to make it good. We read about that the other day. And I'm always reading about that. That's why it's always best to have a third party like Nevada Trust, take care of your money and hold the money.
Yeah, and I know you said in the past that, you know, sometimes when you've got brokers in other types of investment opportunities, they don't always have the investor's best interest in mind. Sometimes they'll push for, you know, different you know, sales or whatever so that they can get their commission because they got to keep things moving. And so that doesn't always benefit investors. But with a life settlement, that's completely it's not even a thing. It's not even a consideration.
No, it's not even in the realm. So it's always best to have a trustee handling your money, keeping it safe, and we like that. I read the other day for Home Depot. This guy worked for Home Depot, and he took $400,000 in play money and replaced $400,000 of their cash.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. You talk about mad.
What?
I'm surprised they didn't go out there and just choke him. I mean, you know, replace $400,000 with play money.
Wow.
Oh, my. And how long did it take them? You know, a big company like they probably took them months to figure out what he did.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they didn't even know it for a while. I mean, things happen in this world. It's always shocking. I mean, play money. Oh, my gosh. Lord.
It's always interesting when you find weird stories like that.
It is. I mean, I read a lot. So I'm always reading what happens in New York City. And most of this, everything I read about all these companies, it's always in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, those people have got too much time on their hands and they dip into the till, you know, and when they should be just doing their job.
Yeah.
But that's not always true in New York City.
It's too much trickery in the Big Apple.
That's right. They have time on their hands, and they put their little hands in the till and take money out and just keep taking it out.
Just kind of help themselves.
They do. So, you know, it's an amazing deal. But anyway, for conservative investment, I think this is a very conservative investment. It works. We know it works. People wouldn't have been with us all these 10 years. A lot of people started in 2013. They're still with us.
That's
that tells
amazing.
You something about them. But yeah, they're still with us.
Yeah.
So if they're conservative, if they believe in the product and believe what we're doing, you know, they're just trucking along.
Cool. And so for people who are looking for more conservative options, especially in the world that we live in now, I assume you have some availability for people to make an appointment, come talk to you, get started, ask questions, things like that this coming week, right?
That's right. They need to come and talk to us, see if they like us, see if they like the investment.
Cool.
Read the references. You know, people who know us and trust us and do business with us every day.
Cool. And one last time, Faye, for people to call and make an appointment, come talk to you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And AmericanFinancialMedlin.com is the website.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.